Okay, John 2. Verses 13 to 22. Now, this is following the wedding at Cana. And notice in verse 11 it says, Jesus did this as first of the signs in Cana and Galilee. And then it says in 12, after this, he went down into Capernaum, he himself and his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and there they remained not many days. Now that means lots of days. So not many days is light to tease for a lot of time, and you notice it's an accusative of extent of time. Now we have 13. And near was the Passover of the Jews, and Jesus went up unto Jerusalem. Now remember, you always go up because Jerusalem's higher. You generally use bino because you walk. Remember how that works? Erchemai is your general word for going. Peroyamai, generally with a conveyance, like a ship or something. Bino, when you're walking along. Okay, 14. And he found, discovered, that's aorist active indicative, in the temple, tus poluntas, the selling guys, the ones who were selling boas, from bus, boas, meaning cattle, cattle of some sort, and probata, sheepses, and peristeras, which are doves, peristeras, a dove. By the way, I did want to point out to you, it might help you to remember this, with this poluntas, that's where we get our word monopoly. See, the pole of monopoly is selling. A monopoly is one guy basically selling and giving you the goods. He's not giving you the goods, he's giving you the business. So they saw those selling the cattle and the sheep and the birds, the doves, and tus kermatistas. I had to look that up. That is a word for money changer, but it's not exactly the same. Look down in verse 15. In 15, you get kolibiston, which is from kolibistes. That's the real word for money changer. This apparently means something like change maker, breaking the money down into change. So, you could say money changer, but it's really giving change. So they came with their big, 300 drachma notes, and then they gave them little amounts after that. And the money breaker downers sitting there, and upon making a frangelion, a whip, out of skoichneon, which are ropes. And upon fashioning or making a whip out of ropes, all, now this is kind of interesting how this is phrased, pontas, notice it's not ponta, but it's all the people. All the people, ex Ebalon, he threw out of the temple, ta te probata kai tus boas, and the sheep and the cattle. So the first pontas refers to the people because that's masculine plural. And then the next one, it's kind of like saying, we threw all those guys out of the temple and then the cattle and the sheep. Well, I don't know what. Did the birds fly out of there? Maybe when he turned stuff over and everything like that, cages opened up and the birds flew. So I don't know. They're not mentioned. And ton kalubiston ex eche en ta kerma. A kerma is a little bit, go up to the second line in the approved text, kermatistas. A kerma is a little piece of something that is broken down. So it would be the change. And the he poured out the change of the money changers and the tables on etrepsa, on a trepo, he turned over, transitive. So for this, you can see the violence of the activity here, that ex echeen would be an aorist. Echeo. So he poured out the change of the money changers and he overturned the tables. And to, now look at the structure here, tois tas peristeras polusen. And to the doves selling guys, he said. And he said to the guys selling the doves, who were apparently still there yet, they hadn't completely gotten away, although he's just talking to the guys anyhow. Arata tauta entoithen. Take these things up from here. Iro is to take up or take away. Take these things out of here. Me poiaita ton oikon tu patrus mu oikon emporiu. You know the word emporium? That's that word at the end. Do not make, stop making, never make. It's either stop making or never make. Stop making my the house of my father a house of selling, or without the articles at all, I think you might maybe even say like the house of merchandise or something like that. Well, I could throw that out. But is that bird right outside there? Okay. All right. 17. Emnestheson, third plural, aorist indicative passive from mimneskamai. Now that's a passive, but it's a deponent. So you just translate it as active. His disciples remembered, Hati, that it was in a said condition. They remembered that it had been said, and so everybody knew about it. It was said, zeal or heavy desire for your house. That genitive is probably object there. I am zealous for the house. It's not that the house has a desire. Zeal for your house, kata phagetai me, that's a third singular future indicative middle, deponent future, will gobble me down, will consume me. 18. Apekritheson un, therefore the Jews responded and said to him. Now there's an example of the Johannine un, which is not therefore, but then. Often he uses the un like tote. Notice also the Jews' designation here. This is the thing that's gotten everybody all excited in the contemporary English version, the new CEV. They always translate the Jews as the leaders because they figure that when this happens, it's generally the leaders that are being designated so we don't have anti-Semitism. Well, you be the judge of that. Then the Jews answered and said to him, what sign are you showing to us because or that, either one, these things you are doing? Now it could well be just because. What sign are you showing to us because you are doing these things? Notice the form deikneis. That's from deikneimi. The regular form for this would be deikneus. Deikneimi, deikneus, deiknesi. But this has become regularized, like what you people say, irregardless. So this is the irregardless form, deikneo, deikneis, deikneai. What sign are you showing forth as proof to us because you are doing these things, or as I say, or possibly that. Jesus replied and said to them, now this reply is interesting, lysate, second plural, aorist, imperative, active, loose, destroy, take apart this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up, agairo, I will raise it up. 20. Ipon, third plural, aorist, indicative, active, weak aorist termination on a strong aorist stem. Should have been ipon. Therefore, or then, the Jews said, tesserakonta kai hex etesin oikodomethe. For 40 and 6 years, or in 46 years, this temple was built. Notice John's using the dative here of time. Not quite appropriate. You would think that the first time it should have been genitive. Destroy this temple and within 3 days. And then in the second one, you'd sort of expect the accusative. For a length of 46 days, this was built. But indications of time got a little loose by this time in Hellenistic Greek. In 46 years, this temple was built, and you, in 3 days, will raise it up. Ekinos de, but he, now here's another Johannine characteristic. John often uses ekinos to mean he, where you'd expect either houtos or haude. So you wouldn't say that one. That's not really right to do it that way. But he proceeded to say, but he was speaking concerning the temple of his body. Notice how John gives the explanation here. Jesus is pulling a kind of a double entendre on him because he's speaking about his body. They think he's speaking about the temple. And where is he? He's standing right by the temple. So this is the basic principle. When you don't realize that all things spoken about really relate to Jesus, you'll always go wrong because you'll always have some other referent you can use like this. 22, therefore, or then, when he had been raised or had arisen from the dead, his disciples, emnaestheson, that's that aorist passive. By the way, agerthe is a third singular aorist indicative passive, could be translated intransitively after he had arisen or transitively after he had been raised. His disciples remember that he had been saying this, and they believed the scripture and the word, the utterance, hun, which Jesus had spoken. Now, I think a couple of things here that you might want to note. First of all, if I were preaching on this, I would concentrate on the latter part and focus on this business of the temple and Jesus. And particularly, this is appropriate as a parallel to chapter 1, where you have the angels ascending and descending on Jacob's ladder. Here you have another testimony to the fact that Jesus is the place of the abiding presence of God. All right? Just as it was that the angels were going up and down and Jacob saw that that place was holy, the place of God, here even more so. This is ratcheted up one more, because you have the temple, and it is also the place where you do the sacrifices and the final taking away of sin. I think also, though, there's probably lying here with that lysata. Notice that's an imperative, but it's kind of using the imperative like an if clause. Like you say, give me a problem and I'll solve it for you. Well, that means if you give me a problem, or give me go ahead, something like that, I dare you. Well, the fact of the matter is, something greater than the temple is here. And the temple no longer does stand when he's here. So I really do think that it's not a mistake that you have this lysate ton naon. with the notion that the temple is actually going to pass. So you have that focused upon right here. Note also another kind of interesting feature of this text, that Jesus says things that the disciples do not get till later on. This is an important thing to remember vis-a-vis John 6. When he's talking about eating my flesh and so on, one of the arguments that any of that discourse is Eucharistic. One of the arguments against that is people wouldn't have understood it. Hey, they didn't understand lots of stuff. And this stuff only became clear after the resurrection. So it was said in a way that would lay the seeds, plant the seeds, which would come to flower later on. Again, you're going to have, note that the quote in 17 about zeal for your house will gobble me up, consume me, is from Psalm 69, one of the great psalms that has a lot of stuff that Jesus actually brings to literal fulfillment. I'm not prepared to solve the problem. This will be our final thing for today. I'm not prepared to solve the problem of how many cleansings of the temple were there. As you know, you have the cleansing of the temple here at the beginning of Jesus' ministry in a kind of an early Judean ministry. However, there is no record of that in the synoptics. There's a cleansing of the temple later. Luther said, well, it might have happened twice. It might have been moved around by somebody. Matter of the fact, that is not a critical thing. It depends upon what the author was wanting to do with this. So it could be that there were two cleansings. It could be that John's being more theological, putting this. You might want to say this if you're preaching on it. Jesus cleanses the temple at the beginning of the ministry. And remember, John is one of the Gospels where Jesus will be the great fulfillment of everything, the great sucking sound where everything gets caught up into him, just like this here. So you know that the temple is kind of reprobate right from the beginning in John because of this incident right from the first. By the way, I should also mention to you, with Jesus saying, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up, in the Gospel of Mark, at the trial, he is accused of saying that he would destroy the temple. There is no place in the Gospel of Mark where Jesus says that. This has got to be a reference to this incident, which probably indicates that there was this early Judean ministry, which the other things do not record. Okay, thanks very much.